Our shout outs last week. Let's get through them now. The podcasters at F1Weekly.com.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the program. This is podcast number 488, March 3rd, 2011. Steven?
This F1 Weekly podcast brought to you by Google Ads. Google Ads bring you the things that you want to do, like racing karts or driving in a Formula One car. Check them out. You know you want to.
Thank you, Steven. On today's program, Bernie wants fake rain. McLaren not so happy with the MP426. Fernando thinks that Pirellis are stinko. And of course, Motorsports Mondial with Nasser Hamid. And special repeat interview this week with Derek Daly. Of course, the father of Connor Daly, who will now be driving in GP3. Steven, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers. And yourself?
Well, I was doing fine until I saw this.
Which is this?
Fake rain. Let's just...
Sure, why not? Let's put sprinklers beside the track and get everything wet, make everything a little more interesting.
But it's an artificial interesting.
I know, well, it's, you know, if they're going to do it anywhere, should do it in Singapore.
Fine.
Yeah, I can't see it them pulling it off because, one, you have to get the entire track wet. That's a lot of water.
You don't have to.
It's a lot of pipe. What you're going to put the guys out on slicks and then make a nice wet corner
for
everybody to slide off?
They want to spice it up. Everybody's so worried about spicing it up, about overtaking. I mean, they're just completely out of control. The best thing to do if you want overtaking is let everybody build whatever engine they want.
Actually, let's just let anybody build any car they want.
Exactly.
Because that's where we had the most excitement, is when the rules were a little wider and you had innovations and things to make faster cars. It's either that or you go back to like a 1980s car and just kind of build a spec around it.
You know, I just can't believe this. And to top it all, Pirelli is now supporting Bernie Ecclestone's concept of artificial wet races.
Sells more tires.
In a bid to increase excitement in the sport. Now, wait a minute. Did we not have an exciting season last year?
I thought so.
Did we not have an exciting season the year before?
I thought that was pretty good, too.
Didn't we have an exciting season in 1979?
Probably. You know, if Bernie really wants rain, why doesn't he just pray for it?
There we go. I don't know, but to artificially bring in rain. I mean, why don't we have heated tracks and watch, you know, the tires melt? It's completely out of control. And I was stunned to see Pirelli backing this idea. Quote, there are racetracks that you can make artificially wet, and it would be easy to have such systems at a number of tracks, Mr. Ecclestone said. Why not let it rain in the middle of a race for 20 minutes or the last 10 laps? Maybe with 2 minute warning ahead of it, suspense would be guaranteed and it would be the same for all.
Can't see the drivers liking it. I can't see the teams liking it because, okay, all right, you know you're going to have a wet section, but do you have a wet practice? Do you have like a portion of practice that's wet so you can play with your setup to see how your car responds?
Why don't we just do all of this indoors?
There we go.
Full control.
Let's build... Yeah. We'll have snowstorms.
Yeah, they could just completely get out of control. No, I think this is ridiculous. I mean,
okay, hey, we're going to do rain. Then we got to have wind machines, too.
Yeah, everything. The gamut. I mean, sand. I mean, manure. The whole kit and caboodle.
I don't think you need any manure. It's already got plenty of that coming from some certain sources within the port already.
I mean, some of this stuff is just too much. Another quote here. Having seen what it was like in Abu Dhabi, certainly with a wet element, it would look spectacular. And visibility shouldn't be a problem because there would be no clouds.
Yeah, but you know, I don't think they realize that if you put water on a track like Abu Dhabi or Singapore and you start getting the spray up, visibility is going to go into the toilet because the lights are just going to turn it into a big white mass.
And Pirelli says, from a tire maker's point of view, there is no difficulty in making suitable tires. We have seen great races in the past when you have had an extra variable like the weather. So why not? No, wait a minute. That's the point. The weather. Yeah. You're looking at the radar. Will it come? It might not come. The anticipation, not knowing. But just announcing, okay, 10 minutes exactly, we have rain coming via our new sprinkler system brought to you by...
Well, that's what it is. There's another sponsorship opportunity.
Oh, absolutely.
Rainbird.
Yeah.
Toro. Exactly. Toro Sprinkler System.
Home Depot now sponsors our rain segment of the race.
Get your new sprinkler systems.
Yeah, sure. You know, there'll be raffles. And it's just... it's lunacy.
I thought of it... You know, like 2 years ago, going, you know, wouldn't that be interesting, something to do? But it comes down to, it's kind of like, and I think it was the season where we had like the one wet race the entire year. And then like last year or the year before last, we got like two or three. And then last year we had like four. So why do we need to go and find it? I think the weatherman will find us. Or if you really want wet tracks, Bernie, flip the season over so we race in the winter instead of the summer.
Exactly. You know, you want Silverstone in February.
Exactly. Hey, not only do we get rain, we get a little ice too.
So, you know, I think the problem is too many people are tinkering with the artwork. And this is the problem that Jarno Trulli was talking about a couple of weeks ago, is we're just messing with the formula so much and it's become so complicated that we
never give it a chance to see what it will be.
Oh, no.
Because by the time we get to the end of the season, the teams have kind of gotten it figured out a little bit, and then we go, okay, change it again.
Yes.
And so we're kind of starting from scratch all over again, and it's like, okay, well, duh.
You know, if they want to make it exciting, I think they should just have a hat with years written on a paper.
Actually, if you want to make it more exciting... Eliminate qualifying and just draw starting position by lot.
Well, that would be interesting, but you know, Fernando would be cursing.
Yeah, well,
you'd have
the top teams whining because you know of.
But they've got a lot of money involved.
Yeah, well,
but no, I think they should put all the years in a hat, and they just pick a year, and then we stick with that formula.
Go back to the,
you know, 1992. Okay, well, let's build them that way. And just have
or maybe do that every year. Basically, hey, next year's rules will be from
1967.
Yeah, exactly.
Boy, that would be fun.
You know, if you really want competitive racing, you kind of got to go back that far and use that kind of formula car where it's really more about the driver than it really is the performance. You know, now it's so much about the performance of the car. The drivers are kind of...
just a pilot.
Somewhat interchangeable, because if you've got a good enough car, you can put just about any driver on the grid in it and be a competitive and or dominant.
Well, we'll see what happens. But still...
I do like the idea of going, okay, we're going to stick to this formula for a year. The only reason we'll make changes is if there are safety concerns.
Safety concerns are acceptable. But, fake rain? It's complete lunacy. And I want to know what Jackie Stewart has to say about that.
Well, maybe that's what gave him the heart attack.
That's what I was just going to say, Stephen.
Yeah,
Bernie's sitting in an airplane coming back from Geneva, and he reads this silly stuff, in his latest Autosport magazine, and he's freaking out. And it was the big one, you know? Oh, anyway, Jackie is going to be fine. He's 71. Apparently, he had some chest pains on his journey back to Heathrow from Geneva, but it looks like he's going to be okay. And, of course, everybody knows Jackie Stewart, world champion three times, 69, 71, and 73. So best wishes to Jackie. Just don't read those silly articles anymore.
Yeah, you know, it's fine and dandy, but, you know, how about doing that for the Race of Champions?
Well, that's the Race of Champions. That's the kind of situation. Environment, sure, and that's for laughs, that's for fun.
Yeah,
this is serious business. This is Formula One, yeah. Steven.
And you know, we've got enough potential variables in the rain. I'm not really sure. I'm kind of almost on board with Fernando. It's like, hey, I thought we didn't want the tires to be that big a factor.
Well, a lot of people don't want. Well, I personally like tire wars and tire factors.
Yes,
a lot of people don't like the tires determining the championship because it is a little ridiculous. But apparently Pirelli has gone overboard with the quick wears. They're saying that that's what Formula One wants. I think there's going to be some protests, especially when you're seeing 3 and 4 pit stop races.
Yeah, well, if you've got to stop that many times, you know, let's go back to refueling.
Yeah. Well, the biggest problem is, you know, that those variables, mistakes in the pits. So many things can happen.
Yeah. And again, you're taking the race off the track, sort of.
Exactly. And not only that, but even though I think the pit stop is part of Formula One, and I don't mind that, when you have 4, and some tracks could be even 5 pit stops, the big teams are going to suffer.
Yeah.
You know, the little teams, it's just going to be fun and laughs for them.
Well, frankly, it comes down to it's the same for everybody.
It is the same for everybody. Ultimately, but what's at stake, Steven?
Yeah, no, but you know, if we're stopping 4 and 5 times, then it's 4 and 5 times for everybody on the grid, which means it's not going to benefit the little teams that much unless they've got a really good pit crew and don't make mistakes during their stops. It's actually could probably be more entertaining for us, the viewer, because
well, we're fake rain would be hilarious too. But I mean, we have to be sensible.
No, I would like to see more than the one stop that we were seeing last season for the, you know, basically going from hards to softs. I'd like to see 2 stops.
Well, that's what they were talking about. Some people were saying that some of the Bridgestones could last the entire race and they stopped and because they had to.
Frankly, saw a hard compound in one race that went, 65-75% of the race.
Yes. So we're definitely not going to have that this year. And Vettel and Fernando, not excited, but they're saying there's no way with these tires, the way the compounds are right now, you're going to have 2-stop races.
So we're looking at 3-stop races?
Minimum.
And, you know, and I don't know how, you know, I frankly am not that concerned about that. That, you know, spice it up a little bit. I think, you know, it is a team sport. And ultimately, the pit crew is part of the team.
I agree. So,
And they've gotten rid of 2 of those poor, you know, 2 or 3 of those poor guys when they got rid of refueling. So, you know, got to get more work for those other guys.
That's true. Fernando Alonso's hit out against the Pirelli tires. He says, quote, "From what I've seen so far, degradation is very significant, which means we will have races with lots of pit stops. I'm not keen on that because I think the increased uncertainty does not favor the strongest teams. It's as if in football, it was decided to have a penalty per team each half hour."
And frankly, you know, that's a really bad argument.
Well, it's not a great analogy, that's for sure.
No, but the argument that he puts forth about the big, you know, it bothering the big teams. Well, who cares if it bothers the big teams?
That's because they don't even see the little teams. They're like things that go by.
Moving roadblocks.
Exactly. Anyway, he says, however, the situation is the same for everyone. It will be important to be fastest because I don't think we can make 1 stops less than our main rivals, obviously. So, Fernando, keep up the good work. I don't know if you saw the message that was sent to Robert Kubica from all the drivers in Barcelona.
I saw the light leap for it. I didn't have time to actually go watch it.
I did watch it. It's very entertaining. And, you know, some of these guys, I could just tell, didn't even have a relationship with Robert Kubica, but, you know, they were in there.
It's like that get well card that goes around, you know, the office.
Exactly. Who is this?
Yeah, I think I know who that is.
Well, that's Bob from accounting.
Exactly. You're like, Bob? Who's Bob?
Correct. So, but anyway, but there were some good ones. Fernando Alonso, of course, who's had a long relationship with Robert Kubica. Nick Heidfeld, of course, who...
Thanks, Robert! Get well slowly.
Don't get well.
Get well slowly.
Yeah. But, you know, and I just realized that Pastor Maldonado wears braces.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Is that a safety concern, Stephen?
Well, maybe he has to wear a mouth guard when he's braces. Yeah,
so, but it was a very good...
He probably has to take out the rubber bands before he starts it.
Well, I was surprised he wasn't wearing the clear ones, you know, the modern...
His well, maybe like, he got in Mexico. I don't know.
Venezuela, Stephen.
Oh.
But anyway. But
well, maybe he got him in Mexico.
Maybe it was a good touch, and I enjoyed watching it. Big news for NASCAR fans, Stephen. I know you're pumped up about this after that Daytona 500.
There's going to be some dude named Lou Hamilton racing at Watkins Glen.
Yep, Lou Hammy will be exchanging cars, as they called it back in the day when Jeff Gordon and Juan Pablo Montoya did it. They called it exchanging paint.
Okay. Who's going to race Lou's car at
that was a
Silverstone
great,
or whatever?
Well, that was a great show. I watched the Jeff Gordon, Juan Pablo Montoya exchange. It was fun. And Jeff Gordon put up some good times. Now, for me, the big laugh is it's not going to be Jeff Gordon, who keeps fit, married to a Belgian woman, somewhat cultured. Apparently, this is going to be an exchange between McLaren and Stuart Haas' team.
Yeah, he's racing in Smoke's car, I guess.
Smoke, exactly. Tony Stewart. And I don't know if you guys have seen Tony Stewart, but he stops at the hot dog stand.
Yeah. Is he supposed to go get Lewis's car?
Yes.
There's no way he's getting in a Formula One car.
That's what I said. Unless they
They have to build a special monocot for him.
Well, you know, I thought, you know, because I know the side pods are fatter. But
that's why the McLaren's so slow. They had to build it big enough to fit Tony Stewart.
Exactly. This is all promo, but apparently Hamilton will take the wheel of Stewart's Chevrolet Impala. And, of course, Stewart, who ran in single-seaters in IndyCar for 2 years back in the late 90s, will try the F1 car for the first time. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great track, Watkins Glen.
So they're going to take one of the F1 cars over to Watkins Glen for Stewart to drive?
Obviously.
Wow. How are they getting around the testing van?
Stephen, why are you doing this to me?
I'm just curious, man.
You think Smoke is going to have some technical input? The technical input is going to be, this chair is pinching my butt.
Yeah. Basically, I'm betting that they'll take Lester's car.
I think you're right. Yeah, of course. First of all, you don't want to divulge any secrets.
Right.
With some film crew out in
Washington. So Lewis is just going to... Lewis isn't going to do the race? I thought Lewis was doing the race. That's what I was looking forward to.
That's not going
to
happen, Stephen, because of liabilities. Do we just not speak about Robert Kubica in the hospital?
Yeah, exactly. Did we talk about drivers doing other series and getting hurt?
But Lewis Hamilton might enjoy this foray into the hot dog-loving region of America. And you never know.
Yeah, well, when McLaren finishes, you know, eighth this year, maybe he'll just jump ship and go to NASCAR.
I've heard when you go to NASCAR, you can't go back.
That's because you put on 20 pounds.
I just can't wait to see Tony Stewart fit into any modern Formula One car.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I'll actually be really excited.
Even Nigel Mansell was a tight squeeze.
Yeah. Well, I'll be interested to see what kind of times Lewis puts down in Tony Stewart's car. Let's see whether or not he would be competitive in
that car. I'm sure
he
would. Because he's going to be lighter than Tony Stewart.
Well, they are right.
They're just fundamentals you have to think about, Stephen. And come on, it's a carbureted 350 Chevrolet.
Right.
I just drove one and pulled one into your driveway.
And it's a road. And it's a road course, you know. So there's no that other funky stuff.
I can't wait. I'm certainly hoping that this will be televised. I don't want to watch this on YouTube.
No,
I'm on full HD 1080p.
I want to see both. Speed better pick that up, because otherwise they're not worth diddly.
Well, you know, I don't know. I never look at speed. Speed is an issue in itself. But this is going to be fun.
The BBC will probably cover it.
Probably. I'm sure somebody's going to cover it. It's just too good to just let go. Yeah. Maybe Top Gear in England will cover it.
Yeah.
Just for laughs.
Yeah. Maybe the Top Gear in the United States will cover it just for laughs.
Exactly. Well, American Top Gear is certainly not as good as the British.
No, but it's not as horrible as I was afraid it was going to be.
Yeah, well, it's been pretty horrible from what I've seen.
You haven't seen any of the good ones then.
Yeah? They haven't done any French cars yet, have they?
Dude, it's American Top Gear.
I noticed that. It's just American muscle cars most of the time.
No, but they did a pretty cool thing where they trucked across Alaska.
Okay, well, that's good. I'll make sure I check that off on my to-do list. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We've got a fantastic Motorsports Mondial, and don't forget to stay tuned for the Derek Daly repeat interview, because it's outstanding. This guy is so articulate, knows so much about racing, Formula One on down. So anyway, we'll take a quick break, and we'll be back after this brief message. Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you. Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid. By the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising.
Greetings and racing regards. No F1, no MotoGP, no GP2. What is this world coming to, Mr. Rogers? But thanks to NASCAR Nation from Phoenix, we rise from the ashes, and so does Jeff Gordon. Did you watch any of the Acción?
Of course. You know, once you watch the Daytona 500, you can't go back.
Exactly. No need to beat around the bush. Since we are a kinder and gentler podcast, we shall start today with round two of the Sprint Cup season at Phoenix International Raceway.
Is it really international?
Yeah.
Do they have races from all over the world?
Well, once Montoya comes in and, you know, grabs his first of many hot dogs, it's International Raceway right away.
Excellent.
There was a time when this track used to open the IndyCar season to a packed house, the IndyCar of the glory days. Long gone. And this is where Kevin Cogan won his first IndyCar race way back, I believe it was 1986. On Sunday in the desert, the man from Vallejo, California, Jeff Gordon, who had gone 66 races without a win, finally scored a victory in his Chevy. Kyle Busch, I watched the last few laps and it was very interesting, which, you know, they normally have a caution and this and that, but I enjoyed the race very much, as I do all motorsports. Kyle Busch, who was hoping to sweep all three races last weekend, had to settle for second in his Camry. Jimmy Johnson was third and Kevin Harvick fourth, making it three drivers from California in the top four. And Rowdy Busch is from Vegas, baby. So NASCAR has come a long way from being a southern boy sport, you know.
Yeah, but why do they still speak with a southern accent, even if they're from California?
Well, that's sophistication, you know, for them.
That's true, I forget.
But it's because the crews are from the south.
Yeah. You have to play the game.
Yeah, but like this guy from SI said about, what's his name, Buddy Baker, he's from the deep end of the deep south. And also this guy, what's his name, Ward Burton. Man, when he won that Daytona 500, the victory lane interview was a classic for the linguistics.
I love it.
Oh, yes. Marcus Ambrose was 16th, and he's from Australia, and we have quite a few listeners in Australia, so we're just trying to, you know, get them the info on their homeboy.
Pander to them.
There you go. Montoya was 19th. Wonder how many listeners we have in Colombia, but we sure do have in Latin America. So pandering to them also. We just should call this podcast a pondering podcast. Okay, and he was 19th ahead of your favorite driver, Clark, Greg Biffle. And Trevor Bayh, dream winner from Daytona, did not finish this time. World Superbikes from Phillip Island, Australia. Checa checks out. Carlos Checa of Spain wins both races of the weekend on a track which can only be described as super splendid. This track is very, very nice. Checa rides for Althea Racing Ducati. Mr. Fab, I know you're a fan of Australian motorsports. Did you watch any of this?
No, I can't say that I did. I'm not much on motorcycles.
Okay. Second was an all-Italian job. Max Biaggi on Alitalia sponsored Aprilia. In my opinion, this program needs some sponsorship from Barilla Pasta also to complete the package.
Maybe they should call Zanardi.
Yeah, exactly. Zanardi actually is very good friends with Paolo Barilla.
No, you bet.
Yeah. Leon Haslam of UK was third for BMW Motorrad Motorsport, or as the Munich natives would call BMW Motorrad Motorsport, or something like that. Race 2, Checa and Biaggi were first and second again. Marco Melandri from Italy was third for Yamaha. This was the opening round of the series. Next race is at the end of this month at Donington. Their series will also visit the U.S., which is good, at the end of May when they race at Miller Motorsports Park in Tuolumne, Utah. And I'm also really looking forward to the start of the MotoGP season, which I believe is this month, under the stars in Qatar.
Qatar,
whatever you want to call it. You know,
I say Qatar, the big Q. You say Qatar.
Exactly.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Yes. Like Bahrain?
Exactly.
No. We need motorsports. So I'm really looking forward to MotoGP and see how Rossi will do on Ducati.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. So far, the Ducati seems to be underperforming.
Mm-hmm. And Honda is going very quick with Casey Stauner.
Yeah. Magic, as they call it.
Really?
Mm.
That should be good. It'll be interesting to see how Hayden does against Stoner. F1 demo in Guadalajara. Sergio Perez drove a last year Sauber through the streets of his hometown to a crowd that was estimated to be around, you know, somewhere between 150 to 200,000. And he makes his F1 debut in Melbourne as teammate to Kamui Kobayashi. So this is good for Mexican motorsports. Hopefully this will bring a Formula One race. There is, you know, a lot of money now in Mexico for motorsports.
Absolutely.
A lot of interest, a couple of good drivers. So it will be great if they can do a street race in Acapulco or
Guadalajara.
Baja.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
I'd be looking forward to that in-flight burrito.
Absolutely. And Mexicana flies from San Jose, so you are only 10 minutes from a very tasty in-flight burrito.
I prefer Aeromexico.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. They have very good enchiladas, I am told. Okay, now we go to some preseason testing and some stars in the making. British F3 testing taking place this week at Rockingham. Man on the Move is the next Brazilian sensation and my long-lost, long-distance cousin, Felipe Nasr, N-A-S-R, the I is missing. He is from Brasilia and his papito, Amer Nasr, runs a racing team in Brazil. Nasr was the fastest on the opening 2 days of testing, and he is with Carlin Motorsports, powered by Volkswagen, also known as VDERB. This kid won the... This was very amazing. What happened at the end of 2008, he was in karting, and when the Formula BMW Americas went to Sao Paulo, which was the same Grand Prix as the 2008 Brazilian Grand Prix, he was on the podium in his first ever car race, either in both of them are, I know for a fact, in one of the two races. And then last year, 2009 was his first year in car racing, single-seaters. He went to Europe to take part in the British, the European Formula BMW, and won the championship in his rookie year against some very, very good competition. So that was quite an opener. And he did a classic thing that young drivers do, very talented. Same thing that Esteban Gutierrez did. He jumped from Formula BMW instead of going to Formula Renault. He went to British Formula 3. And he had a pretty tough season last year, but he did still win a race at Rockingham, which is where they are testing. So I really think this guy is going to make a big name for himself. And he is under, I think he's still under the management of Raikkonen, I'm sorry, the people who manage Raikkonen, Robertson, father and son, Steve Robertson. And this will be of interest to you. His girlfriend is the daughter of Nelson Piquet, meaning sister of you-know-who, Renault driver once upon a time.
And yeah. Now sometimes NASCAR Truck Series driver.
Yeah, crash and burn Piquet. That's what we call him now.
Well, it's a crash. He's the one who crash burned somebody else.
Flavio's fine.
Flavio's fine. I sure like to talk to Massa when he retires, you know. Man, what do you feel about
that? He'd be bitter forever.
Yeah. You know, apparently I was reading in an interview that after it happened, and long before this cover was blown, Massa and Nelsinho were driving to a go-kart event or something in Italy. And Massa asked him, hey, man, did you do this on purpose? And he just laughed. He says, no, of course not. And then came the truth. Yeah, amazing.
No invitations to Massa's kart race anymore.
Yeah. Also in British F3 this season and going very quick is Kevin Magnussen, son of Jan Magnussen. Remember him?
Oh, of course.
And more on Jan later in the show. Another driver who will be going places is young British talent Jack Harvey. Last year, he led the Formula BMW Europe Championship from the first race till the last round at Monza, where his weekend and season was ruined by a driver not even in the hunt for the championship, which is pretty bad. He crashed into Harvey and made him feel like Jack in the Box. Adding insult to the injury, he did not even offer him his curly fries or jalapeno poppers, my two favorite items at Jack's Palatial Restaurant. Have you ever tasted them?
Of course, quality.
Yeah, I know you're a sophisticated guy, so how can you miss Jack in the Box drive-thru?
I think they might even start carrying escargot.
Oh, that's very good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Deep fried
with sour cream and guacamole. Perfect. Escargot. That will be the fantastic thing. I don't think they are much on the East Coast. It's more like a Western United States.
I believe so. Yeah. I don't think Jack in the Box exists in the East Coast.
Yeah, they are from San Diego.
Yes, Food. East Coast is Sonic's.
Roy Rogers.
Yeah.
McDonald's.
Yeah, we've heard of them.
Never heard of them.
Oh, really? Okay, now we go to Formula Renault Euro Cup testing. They are at Le Castellet, meaning Paul Ricard, the best in pasties. That's a product I love very much. Pasties, to me, is the best thing out of France since Matra V12.
Really?
I like it so much. Yeah.
What about Brigitte Bardot?
There's many more. Elise.
Bikinis. I love Elise.
Yeah, and there is... you know this lady, Mireille Mathieu, she's a pretty
good... Mireille Mathieu.
Incroyable. Yeah, very nice. And of course, Romain Grosjean's girlfriend.
He is?
Marion Joel, the French TV reporter. Oh, les hearty. And anyway, Battle Royale is in this series is expected between Robin Friens of Netherlands, and very pleased to say a friend of F1 Weekly, and Carlos Sainz Jr., who soon will be friend of F1 Weekly, hopefully. Both recorded fast times this week in testing, and I just have a feeling that Carlos Sainz Jr. could be even more talented and go farther than Pepito. And Pepito is no slouch, as you know. Dad, very, very, very graceful gentleman. You know, I interviewed him last year. I was really pleased to meet him. Very nice. And kid looks like a young kid. Kid is very fast, though. Friens is with Josef Kaufmann Racing of Germania, Alemania, Deutschland, Germany, whatever you want to call them. And Sainz Jr. is part of Red Bull program and is with Koiranen Brothers of Finlandia. Their team is based in Barcelona. You know, on this Koiranen Brothers, I was looking at their website, and it says that 80% of the F1 grid have gone through their team. And I think the team owner, his name is Marco, so maybe I'll sit down and have a chat with him in Alcaniz. We shall see. Two other series will also be testing by the time this is posted. And if this becomes a phantom podcast, then maybe the season will be half done. You never know. Formula Renault 3.5 featuring Alexander Rossi, Brendan Hartley, Daniel Ricciardo, and Jean-Éric Vergne. And I think if the champion if does not come from these four for this season, they should all go scuba diving. It has to be between if I have to put my money, it probably will be Ricciardo or Jean-Éric Vergne, both part of Red Bull.
I think Vergne is going to take it.
You think so?
He's a professional.
Yeah, Daniel Ricciardo, what do you think he is?
I'm just telling you what I feel. He's very in the
good.
Gut.
Yeah, no, both are very, very good, and so is Rossi, and so is Brendan Hartley. I would really like to see Brendan Hartley and Rossi do well because, you know, they are not part of any major sponsorship program right now in terms of teams and all that. So that'll be good for them, and both are very good. Okay, GP3 boys will also be in action featuring preseason favorite Valtteri Bottas of Finlandia, Aro Vainio, also from Finlandia, Rio Haryanto from Indonesia, Nico Müller from Switzerland. Both Rio and Nico won races last year in GP3. Connor Daly will represent the USFA. And based on experience, my preseason favorite would be either I'll be very surprised if Bottas or Müller do not win the championship. Very, very surprised. But stranger things have happened in motor racing and in life. So time for a sip of PG.
I understand. Bigelow's. Your favorite tea, isn't it?
Ah. Good to the first and the last drop. Okay, where are we now? We have to do a turn the page here. Let's see. Okay, so as far as all these series are concerned, races, preseason, other developments, your homeboy Tom Dillman just signed for a season in GP3, so congratulations to him. So please stay tuned to F1 Weekly for news, views, information from the world of motor racing as the season progresses. And there is some progress in the case of GP2 Asia. You may have a sip of your, what do we have here? Pilsner? What is this?
It's a Pilsner Akel.
I thought it was Pilsner.
Bigelow's tea.
I thought Pilsner Uruguay.
I love Uruguay.
I'm sure you do.
Montevideo is a beautiful city.
Yeah, I would like to. It's the birthplace of tango. Did you know that?
I know, and I intend to go there one day on vacation.
Me too.
Really?
Me too.
Maybe absolutely. We'll go together, Nasser.
I would love to go to Latin America. There's a lot of racing heritage there, and Carlos Reutemann is there, you know. Obviously, Fede Pardi and all those people. But we shall see.
Yeah, I think we should get back to Motorsports Mondial.
Here we are. There is some progress in the case of GP2 Asia. The cancelled round from Bahrain will now take place at Imola later this month. Imola is the place where it all started for GP2 series back in 2005, and the winner of the very first race back then was Heikki Kovalainen, who led the championship for most of the season, but Nico Rosberg ate his lunch in the final race of the season to become the first ever GP2 champion. Scott Speed finished third in that series. And it's, there's never been a U.S. winner of a GP2 event, either a sprint or a feature race. Which is, a little sad.
I know.
But so Scott Speed finished third in the season without winning a race.
That is correct.
That's actually pretty consistent.
Yeah, it is. That's and he won the Formula Renault Euro Cup. So he did what he could, and he did pretty good, I should say. Finishing top three is very impressive in your rookie season, especially in this type of competition. And talking of Imola, I was there in 2004? Yeah. What a beautiful track. As far as the layout is concerned, the Acqua Minerale and Alta Variante, man, it's like super bellissimo. I would highly, highly recommend if somebody is in the area, not too far from Bologna, to go there. And we also took a side detour of San Marino Principality or whatever it's called. Very, very beautiful. So that's, and we all know what happened there in May 1994. You know, there is a video on YouTube of Jim Clark racing at Imola in 1966-67. I would highly recommend that also. And of course, in those days, there were not all these safety, features we have now. So check it out, please, if interested. Next, Williams on the market. Shares are now trading on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange as of March 2nd. Highly recommended by Prudential Base Securities. Rock solid for all your financial and motorsports needs. Are you investing some in Williams shares?
Well, unfortunately, they dropped in value today.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
But that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Buy low, sell high.
Thank you, Stephen.
Who is your broker, Merrill Lynch?
Bob Newhart.
Hmm. Very good. And I understand you covered Sir Jackie Stewart. He passed out on a British Airways flight.
Of course.
So we wish him all the best. Looks like everything is going to be hunky-dory.
Yeah, when something happens to a world champion, we have to discuss it.
Yes, absolutely. And the flight attendants were very quick to help him out.
I heard.
Yeah.
Mouth to mouth and everything.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it was not a fake.
Those Swiss Airlines know what they're doing.
See, I thought it was British Airways.
It could have been British Airways.
But see, if this was Flavia, and once you say mouth to mouth, then he could have faked passing out.
He could have.
Yeah, but Flavio, you never know.
Flavio is always a sneaky character.
Yeah.
Ask Nelson.
Yes. Next, Kmart Blue Light Special for Korean Grand Prix. Ticket prices have been slashed. Cheapest ticket available now is $77, which is very impressive for a Formula One race outside the United States. And most tickets are up to 50% off if they are bought in March of 2011, that is. So please hold off on that Samsung plasma screen and sink a few $100s for a grandstand seat in Yongam. For $77 for an F1 ticket and $50 for a Love Hotel, that's all they have in the area, as you know. That's a lot of fun for $127. And here is the big closer in case you're planning to go there. All you can eat kimchi is complimentary.
And I know that for the American fans, they shape the kimchi into a hot dog and stick it on a button.
Man, you really got... You should be a spokesman for hot dog.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm pro hot dog.
Yeah, I know you are. And especially the Jimmy Dean.
Love Jimmy Dean.
And why?
Pure pork.
Wow. Love it. I think their biggest sales day is the World 600 at Charlotte, North Carolina.
Absolutely.
And who can blame them? Or the fans. Time now for this month's Sad Sweet Dreamer, the racer from Roskilde who could have been the Great Dane, Jan Magnussen. This is one of those sad, sad stories where so much potential was basically wasted. Very sad. And of course, he's not the only one. And you know, that's what I feel about Montoya and Raikkonen. But you know, you got to do what you got to do. Jan Magnussen, tremendous success in karting and single-seaters came his way at an early age. But at the young age of 24, when most F1 careers are starting, at least in those days, his F1 career was over. Fired by the man who once hailed him as the greatest talent since Ayrton Senna, gentleman we just discussed, Sir Jackie Stewart. How things change in the fast-paced world of Formula One. Jan Magnussen was born on July 4th, 1974. So at least he gets a free dinner at Denny's when he comes to America. I mean, you have to look at the bright side of life. He was king of karting, won several championships. In 1992, first season in single-seaters, he won 6 of the last 9 races in the British Formula Ford Championship and won the prestigious Formula Ford Festival at Brands Hatch. This is where Denica Patrick also finished second once upon a time. His Grand Prix debut came in difficult circumstances, as to replace an ill Mika Hakkinen at the 1995 Pacific Grand Prix at Ida in Japan. Magnussen had very little time in the car before the race. He still finished 10th, just behind teammate Mark Brundle. And I was reading in preparation for this reportage, I was reading one of his interviews, and he says that he could have passed Brundle. He had the pace, he was very, you know, right behind him, but he did not want to take chances and this and that. And he said after the race he got quite a bit of flack from the team for not trying to pass Mark Brundle. So it's, you know, some people you just can't please, you know.
It's called nice guys finish last.
Exactly.
Or 10th.
There you go. Jackie Stewart signed Jan to a 4-year contract starting with the 1997 season when he started his own F1 team with his son Paul. His teammate was Rubens Barrichello, who even then had 5 years of experience in Formula One. Preseason testing was a disaster. In the words of team engineer Andy Le Fleming, if it wasn't the car, the engine was blowing up every 5 minutes. Do you remember their very first race in Australia, what happened? They started smoking on the grid because they were using some sort of a paint that was not very flame resistant and all that kind of stuff. To give his driver more seat time, Stewart arranged a 2-day test at Estoril, Portugal. Within 5 laps, front suspension broke at 160 miles per going into turn 2. That sounds like a Lotus. Colin Chapman's Lotus, that is. Now we have so many owners of Lotus. For most of the season, Jan trailed Rubinho, but was matching and started going faster than his teammate towards the end of the season. The 1998 car was described by Fleming as a complete caca box. You know what that means. Before the season was over, Stewart lost patience with Magnussen and he was replaced by Jos the Boss Verstappen, with no noticeable changes to the results. But the result for Magnussen was his F1 career was over. Hopes were dashed and dreams were destroyed. There are those who claim Jan was not serious and committed enough to succeed in Formula One. According to Ron Dennis, Jan could never figure out why he was not quick. Jan did not play his part when it came to F1 politics. He smoked, showed little interest in physical fitness, could care less about PR functions, and this is what really is not good, and I've seen similar things like this. Once in his F1 time, he had driven a brand new Ford car to a press conference as a Ford representative and told the journalist it was one of the worst cars I have ever driven.
Not very smart, is he?
That's you know, I ran into a similar situation once with a driver who, let me just tell you, I was there in the parking lot of a TV station in San Francisco. And the PR lady from a major manufacturer was pleading with this driver to please put on a team cap or a jacket or a t-shirt. And if you don't like the blue, I'll bring a red. If you don't like a red, I'll bring a white. And this driver completely, flatly refused. So much so she even turned to me and says, can you please help me? And if you behave like this...
Was he contractually obligated to that manufacturer?
Well, you know, it... Oh, yeah, absolutely. They were writing his paycheck. And this was pretty top-level series.
That's just not smart.
No, this is, you know, obviously it was getting a little heated. The guy just says, I'm not, I even said, you know, are you sure? You know, I only said it once, but she pleaded and even said to, took some names that last time you did not do this, I got a lot of heat. Because, you know, these PR companies are, you know, out-contracted, subcontractors. And if you're not doing your job, they get the heat. And I know other cases also where, you know, some drivers are just like too much. They need to think, you know, who you are pissing off. But anyway, here is a quote from Ron Dennis. Ron Dennis described him as the most disorganized driver I have ever known. And you can Google this if you're interested. There is a famous story where Jan and Ron Dennis went to an airline check-in. And Jan had to take out his passport, which instead of putting in his pocket, it was in his briefcase. And when he opened, it's like things are flying. It was not a happy scene in front of your employer. For Jan Magnussen, Formula One was no sweet sensation, but he found a lot of success and happiness in sports car racing. Now his son, Kevin, is part of McLaren Young Driver Development Program and aiming to do what father did in British F3. We look forward to the Magnussen name in F1 soon. That was Magnussen moment in motorsports. And finally, we come to Ryan Express. Do you have your ticket, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Not the movie, but the British budget airline and Mr. Clark Rogers. If there are two words made for each other in the English language, they are budget and F1 Weekly.
Certainly. Synonyms.
Absolutely. On April 15, 2011, a Ryanair Big O jetliner will take off from Luton Airport, headed for an airport near Barcelona. On board will be yours truly, and enjoying the window seat will be the executive director of F1 Weekly's European operations. Welcome aboard, Mr. Brazier.
He's been promoted again, hasn't he?
Yes. How would you like your peanuts, plain or roasted? And tea will be PG. We'll make sure of that. Very pleased to confirm we are headed to the World Series by Renault opening round at Aragon in Alcaniz, Viva España. Hopefully Dr. Miguel will be able to get a day off furlough also, and we can all go in a yellow submarine to this fantastic racetrack out in the boonies. I hear it's like, this makes Manicure looks like crowded place.
Exactly.
So, well, you know, it's a good track and modern track, so we shall have a good time. And I'm looking forward to doing a lot of interviews there.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
Yes,
sir.
Some
tapas.
Yeah.
San Miguel.
Gazpacho.
Oh,
in the land of Muy Macho. But wait, there's more. Peter and I are also planning to attend the British F3 race at Oulton Park, I'm not sure on that, on April 23rd. Then it's back to Cali. Oh, excuse me, take two. Then it's back to Cali and reality. In between, I will be in Karachi. And you know, British F3, this has been one of my favorite series. I think even now, after F1, this is my favorite series. Has been there for a long time. Senna came through the series and Jackie Stewart, and I followed it for a long, long time. So I'm very pleased that I'm able to attend a British Formula 3. One day I will also attend the Formula Ford Festival.
That's fantastic.
It's such an important part of motorsports.
It's good to spread your wings a little bit, Nasser.
Yes.
And that's beautiful. And, of course, great thanks to Peter Brazier for helping us with some of the logistics in putting this together.
Yes, and if I may ask, your thoughts on Lewis Hamilton at Watkins Glen?
Well, I Lewis will have, I think a lot of fun driving the heavy Chevrolet.
Yeah, he's a racer.
Yeah, and I think Tony Stewart is blessed to get a chance to drive. We predict will be last year's McLaren.
No, you were making fun of him that he
me?
McLaren is bringing the two-seater for him.
Me make fun?
No,
of
we were actually figuring that's why this year's McLaren was so slow, because they had to make it so large to fit Tony Stewart into it.
Oh.
It was slowing it down.
Honestly, I mean, Tony Stewart is not a small man.
Have you ever seen him in person?
Not in person. He's not tall.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's no Lewis Hamilton.
He's very similar to my friend Paul Tracy.
Oh, yeah. And I think this is the best PR for Formula One in America. There's no question
about it. Oh,
absolutely. This is really going to the heart of, mainstream American racing fans,
yeah,
which is very good.
Is this going to be televised?
Well, I'm sure Speed will pick up.
You think?
Well, that's the key. You bring a NASCAR thing, and Speed will be all over Fox
News.
Yeah,
but Fox shows a lot of the NASCAR events.
You know, Speed is owned by them, so...
Yeah, but knowing that, but Speed is basically the pre- and post-race show every week.
Yeah,
so,
and...
No, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it. Tony Stewart raced successfully in 2C in open wheel racing in IndyCar.
Yeah, he was the first IRL champion, I'm not mistaken.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so. This is great. And seriously, you know, when I'm hoping the first time these NASCAR fans who are involved in NASCAR, nothing wrong with that. First time they hear a sound of a F1 machine, they're gonna say, "Hoochie coo, Lordy Mama, light my fuse."
Buy my tickets to Austin.
Yeah. Yep. So it's very good.
Yeah. No, it's going to be very, very fun. I can't wait to see it. Nas, thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. And, of course, stay tuned for this week's repeat interview, Derek Daly.
Thank you, sir. Derek Daly made it, names like Derek Daly takes me back to the, for me, the golden era of motor racing, the early 70s, when I started following this beautiful sport. So Derek Daly made it to Formula One on the Devo program. Worked in iron ore mines of Australia to go motor racing. Raced with Williams and Tyrrell in Formula One and then raced for many years in IndyCars. He is now based in Indianapolis, and his company, Derek Daly Design, is involved in designing racetracks around the world. And I would encourage our listeners to check out his website, which is www.derekdalydesign.com. The second part of the interview is with his son, Connor. Connor is 17 years old, and after a winning career in karting, he is now rapidly climbing the single-seater ladder. In 2008, he won the Skip Barber Championship with 5 wins, representing Team USA. Also won the Walter Hayes Formula Ford 1600 trophy at Silverstone. This year, he's taking part in Star Mazda Series, and his website is www.connordaly.net. And Connor is spelled C-O-N-O-R in his case. My sincere thanks to Derek. I really enjoyed talking to him and to his son Connor. And I want to thank them again for their time at Sebring, which is where this conversation took place. Thank you.
Okay, folks, I'm here with Derek Daly, a gentleman who went to Australia to work in coal mines to go motor racing. And I love that story. Tell us a little bit about that, please.
it was a case back then where you just did whatever you had to do to get a chunk of cash if you wanted to buy a racing car. And I heard about an opportunity. I could either go to the iron ore mines in Australia or the oil fields of Alaska. The choice to go to the iron ore mines was made because we had to spend £1,000 for clothing to keep us warm in Alaska, and they were going to take that out of our pay pack. And we thought, nah, that's no good. We need all the money. So we just cut the legs off our pants and cut the sleeves off our shirts, and we were perfectly dressed for working in the mines in Australia.
How long were you there?
6 months of the winter of 73-74.
And how much of 6 months of coal mine, working in the mine brought you in terms of racing time?
Well, what it allowed me to do is I came back with £5,000, which in those days was $10,000, and I'd never seen that amount of money before, and so that allowed me to buy a Formula Ford, which put me on the track to winning the Irish Formula Ford Championship. Then I had a valuable championship-winning car, which I sold. Got reasonable money for that, and was going to be able to use that for the following season, which was 76 in England. And I had enough money to either race or to live, but I really couldn't do both at the same time. So to live, I just bought an old school bus, took all the seats out of it, put two ramps in the back, and ran the racing car into the middle of it. And I had a toolbox, a racing car, and a sleeping bag. And my mother made curtains for the bus. My dad made a sponge mattress, and I said goodbye to my family, and that was it. I went to England to become a professional.
And you made it to Formula One. What was the highlight for you in your Formula One days?
I suppose the highlight was, making it that far, because I came from such a basic non-motorsports background. Events like the British Grand Prix, I finished fourth in the Tyrrell. I can still remember some of the corners in that car. Driving the Williams, places like Monaco, leading Monaco in 1982, about to start the last lap, gearbox broke. That's pretty heady times to live through for someone who came from the background I came from. And then just to have the ability to mix with those type of people, really people that you thought were on a different level until you got there. And then, of course, I went to the Indy 500 because I was intrigued by this racing at 200 miles an hour between a concrete wall. It just didn't make sense to me, and the speeds were so high. I went there in 83 for curiosity, and I never left. I've been there ever since.
Now, is Formula One really as intense, and it is what it is, as you hear while you're climbing the ladder?
It is, without a doubt, the most intense class of racing on the planet. Formula One has this ability to put pressure on you just by its very existence. It is so results driven that you automatically are pressured to get a result no matter what the circumstances. And that type of pressure, I think you have to learn to absorb it, live with it, understand it, potentially use it to your advantage. But without a doubt, it is the most pressure-filled sporting environment in the world that flushes out every strength and every weakness in every person on the team, not just the drivers.
Is Patrick Head really a knucklehead that you read in the reports?
Well, Patrick Head is one of those geniuses. He is one of those people who quietly thinks levels deeper than most people. He wants to know why it works, and how he can come up with a better, more efficient way to make it work. And he is fueled by this almost driver-like desire to succeed. I mean, after all these years, he doesn't need any money anymore. But after all these years, he's still fueled with this great desire to innovate, to develop, to prove, and really to again wave the flag of what he and Frank as privateers now can do together. And that, I mean, that desire, I think, to dedicate your life to that is part of what is part of what Formula One is. It's a lifestyle. It's not a job. It's a lifestyle.
How was Frank to deal with?
Frank was a very black and white person. Frank had no time for the emotion of the moment. Very businesslike, black and white. Really didn't understand that certain environments bring out the best in certain people. It was come in, work, do it right, or get out. There's plenty more people to come and take your place. Which is understandable. Some drivers flourished in that environment. Some drivers didn't. And I think Frank is still the same today. He's still black and white. Still doesn't understand. For example, when Frentzen went there, Frentzen needed a bit of emotional support to get the best from him. Frank wasn't prepared to give that to him because he didn't understand what it meant. And Frentzen almost, his career almost died at Williams. He goes to Jordan the next year and he almost wins the world championship. So he had the talent, he just didn't have the environment.
Now, I remember you from your days with the Renault garage door in IndyCar racing, and you had a big accident. What were the highlights for you in your IndyCar? And how much did you enjoy oval racing compared to Formula One circuit?
Believe it or not, oval track racing was a bit of a strange animal because, in a way, racing on an oval, particularly a short oval, with a really good handling car, was what you thought racing always should be. High speed, slipstreaming, passing, being passed, high action all the time. It's what you imagined racing would be. Road racing, at the levels I did it, is so fast, the cars are so stiff, they're so abrupt, they're so abrasive, they're actually hostile environments. They're physically difficult animals to drive. So oval track racing had this, just this satisfaction feel when the car was good. Now, on the other hand, when the car was bad, it was by far the scariest, unnerving, most dangerous environment you could ever put an athlete into, without a doubt. And I got to experience both sides of what that looks like.
What is your homeboy Eddie Irvine doing these days?
Growing his hair long, doing as little as possible, getting out of bed as late as possible, chasing as many women as possible, counting his money as often as possible. Looking cool and trying to prove to everybody that he could have been world champion if Michael Schumacher never existed.
Yeah, quite a few people can say that. Formula One season is about to start. I want you to give me settle this debate. People think Hamilton, and I asked Stirling Moss the same question, that Hamilton is, you know, spoon-fed success, everything worked out for him. How would you rate him as a race car driver?
Well, first of all, let me tell you, I'm a big fan of Eddie Irvine's. And I'll tell you what his greatest strength was, his mental strength. He absolutely mentally had it over most of his competitors. So, Hamilton, is he spoon-fed? I don't know. I don't really care. Because the beauty about motor racing is, even if you're handed everything on a plate, there is nowhere to hide when you have to go perform. When you're asked by yourself to get in, go perform, the eyes of the world are on you, all your strengths and weaknesses come out. So it doesn't matter what Lewis Hamilton had supposedly handed to him, and he had a good development path. Without a doubt, he is true world-class material that is potentially a model for so many people to follow. I love what he's done. I love what he's brought to the sport. And the level of intrigue that he has brought has replaced the level of intrigue that Michael Schumacher left when he walked away.
Who do you think will win this year, and who would you like to see win the championship this year?
The beauty about Formula One is you never know what's going to happen. After recent testing, who would believe that Jenson Button might win a race? He might win three or four races. If he wins three or four or five races, he might be world champion with a new rule they just instigated. If you look at past history, I have a sneaky suspicion that BMW are going to be even stronger this year. They just have a measured, controlled approach that they seem to execute at a level as high, if not higher, than some teams. I can't imagine that Ferrari without Schumacher will continue to be as technically advanced as they need to be. Ron Dennis has given up leadership at McLaren. I don't know whether that will affect them or not. So when you look at all that and look what Ross Brawn is about to produce, don't you think the intrigue of Formula One next year might be greater at a higher level than ever before? And will Alonso package it? And they say he's the safest hands in Formula One. You know, will he package a season-long ability to bring another world championship for him? I actually don't know, but it sure is a great amount of intrigue.
You must be a very proud papa these days. Your son Connor is doing very well. How much are you involved in guiding his career?
I'm very much involved with guiding Connor's career. I've been there, done that, made all the mistakes. So I try and use my experience to potentially guide him along a path that he tells me he wants to go along. No matter what I can do for him, at the end of the day, it's a bit like Lewis Hamilton. When a driver jumps into the car, he's by himself. So you then look at a driver, does he have... I mean, it's all great fun. Drivers love driving racing. It's great fun. Great to miss school for a week and go to Florida. But at the end of the day, you look at a package that is a driver, and does he have the innate ability that and to have the X factor, that little differentiating X factor that just puts him in a position to succeed, that allows him to rise to the top when it's necessary, to get the momentum, to come on song at the right time. And so far, all through his go-karting and his Formula Ford in Canada and his Skip Barber, he's been able to do that. Now he's at a higher level. The challenge starts all over again. He's immediately fast in the Star Mazda Championship, and we'll see what he learns. We'll see how far he goes. But I do tell him his success in the future will not be dependent upon the team or what I bring or what he brings or what sponsorship brings. It'll actually be on what he himself is prepared to sacrifice, what he learns, what he does, how he applies himself. That will be the ultimate determining factor on how far he goes.
I do want to ask you a question based on a word you use, mistakes. What were some of the big mistakes you made, or what is the most common mistake young drivers make that hurt them in their career?
From what I've experienced with many, many young drivers, very few of them understand the difference between a strength and a weakness. Very few of them would admit that they have a weakness. One of my biggest problems was I never knew I had a weakness. Nobody told me. I never understood it. So, nor would I ever admit it, because I wouldn't want anybody to even think of it. Little did I know, if I identify a weakness, work on it, turn it into a strength, and then add it to my natural strength, you become a powerhouse. And I find the same trends with young drivers today. So I wrote a book that was published about a year ago on driver development, and it's all about understanding the ingredients, understanding how to develop all those ingredients. And if you have weaknesses, which every driver has, work on it, don't bury it, expose it, work on it, develop it, and then you can potentially become the very best you can be. And let's face it, what more could you ask for but to become the very best you can possibly be?
Derek, I really appreciate your time. Finally, how about a message for listeners of F1 Weekly? And I'm very pleased to tell you we have listeners in your country also.
Well, I love the fact that F1 Weekly is on the internet, because you now have access to the world. My family in Ireland can now listen to this. Awesome. So keep listening. Send messages every now and then. Tell your friends to tune in, because you will get information here that few get access to, and it'll be broadcast around the world. I love it.
Thank you very much.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we go into the wrap-up, we've got the form updates.
This week's form updates by Kimmix. Thanks, Kimmix. There's a general disappointment across the forum this week that we have to wait until the end of March for the first race after the cancellation of Bahrain. However, it does give all of the listeners a bit longer to join the F1 Weekly Private League on FantasyRacers.com. Come and join us. You know you want to. Recent discussions have included the Red Bull Infinity deal, which we started discussing rumors of more than a month ago. Hamilton to drive NASCAR at Watkins Glen. World Superbikes. The Senna movie, which Cyan went to New York to see. And if the extra break before racing starts is leaving you with F1 withdrawal, come and join us in the forums. Tell us what you think.
Absolutely.
And get your fix.
I can't wait for the Senna movie to come to our area. I mean, this is...
Is it like a traveling roadshow?
It's just picking up... It was in L.A. over in Encino.
Okay.
And, you know, it's going to be in major metropolitan areas, but hello, we're here. Silicon Valley.
It's not like it's CineQuest this week?
No, it's not. So, we'll find out.
I'm sure somebody around here will pick it up.
I'm sure.
The city or here in San Jose.
I cannot wait. And I bet you there's some bootleg DVDs out there already.
Wouldn't doubt it.
Maybe we'll get our executive producer on
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Have the executive producer check his sites for...
There you have it, Steven. Anyway, let's wrap it up. San Francisco Formula One Group. Check them out. SFF1.com. Great bunch of guys. They get together at a local bar in San Francisco, watch the race, eat and drink, sff1.com. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2011 Redline Oil Karting Championship. Cameron Karting offers CRG karts, engines, and parts for all karts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California karters. For more information, contact CameronKarting.com. I want to mention our Facebook and Twitter sites. Just do a search for F1 Weekly and make us a friend. And if you follow us, we automatically follow you. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, just email me at info@F1Weekly.com. I want to thank everybody who listens to the program. Good night.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast. Reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.